If you have a Bible, open to Proverbs chapter 4. That's where we will be this morning. I have titled this sermon, Family Discipleship, Modeling Time, Moments, and Milestones. So let me just tell you, like, right up front, my hope today, first and foremost, as a parent, is to discover the best I can how to raise my children to follow Jesus. My desire as a parent and a pastor is to help us as moms and dads to raise our children to faithfully follow Jesus. And so the topic of this sermon, even the points of this sermon, they're not original with me. They come from studying a new resource I just gave away called Family Discipleship, written by Matt Chandler, that they practice at the Village Church in Texas. My wife and I have been going through it for the past several months, and I just thought, hey, it would be an awesome opportunity to unpack ways as moms and dads, even as grandmas and grandpas, that we can disciple our kids and our grandkids. And so we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4 this morning. Proverbs chapter 4. And while you turn there, let me share just some things with you. First of all, is one, knowing what I know of our church and of the families that are represented here, I am convinced that there's nothing that you want more than for your children to follow Jesus. There's nothing that you want more. And at the same time, hang on one second, I have to pause. Here's a problem with letting your kids play with your iPad, is they change things up. And so I'm sitting here and it keeps turning off on me. So give me a moment to actually figure out how to get this to stop turning off on me. Cole, anybody know how to keep the iPad from turning off? Yep. I'm in settings, displays and brightness. It's turning off every 2 minutes. Okay, so now it's done. It's good. Okay, we'll see. I can't teach if I can't see what I'm trying to teach. So not only do we want our kids to follow Jesus, I think as a parent, as I was thinking about this week, is we also want our children to follow our example, right? Because now as followers of Christ, I think we're learning how to live. But prior to that, like, we just honestly flat out made a ton of mistakes, right? We at some points made a mess of our life. And so we want our kids to avoid the things that we as parents went through. It just turned off again. So,
You keep talking.
So as parents, we want our children to avoid some of the mistakes that we've made in our lives. So if you would, with me, let's look at, I'm just going to wait. We're going to get this worked out. What's the problem?
Not letting you press it. Yep.
There. Sweet. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm going to pray. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for a moment. Father, I come before you this morning, God, asking for your grace and your mercy to be abundantly present, not just on me, but on us. As we as a church, we gather here this morning for this very important, very life-giving thing, and that is to disciple our families and disciple our children. Father, the world that you created and the mandate that you gave husband and wife to raise your children up, to subdue the world and reflect the glory of God in this world, Father, that is a truth that is been rejected and long forgotten in today's culture. And we have an opportunity as moms and dads who follow Christ to raise our children to do the same so that they could be, as Jesus said, salt and light in the world. And so I pray that your grace would be abundant this morning with us as we listen, God, to your word. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. All right. Take five. It's still on. Thank you, Cole. So as moms and dads, I think there's nothing we want more than for our kids to follow Jesus. We want them to learn from us. And if you would, look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4 through 5. This is a section of scripture where Solomon is writing to his sons to follow the example of his father and of his mother. In verse 4, he says, "Your heart must hold to my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth." Here's the problem, though, I think, as we approach family discipleship, is I think if you were to think on, if you're a parent today and you were to think back on your own example in the home, I don't think that faithful family discipleship was modeled in many of our homes. It was certainly not modeled in mine. And here's one thing that I know after discipling and pastoring people in Pittsburgh in particular, and this is not the case in the South. This is something that I've had to learn, and it's something that I've been made aware of, is that for many of us, we grew up in homes where faith wasn't even talked about in the home. That was not the case in the South, man. Everyone was a Christian, quote unquote, and things of the faith were often talked about. And yet I moved to Pittsburgh and I hear that many of us grew up in a home where our moms and dads never even talked about the faith, never even talked about what they believed. And so for us, we're here and we're like, we may not be sure what that looks like. And not only was faith not talked about in the home, maybe we grew up in a home where our moms and dads modeled morality over the gospel, where what they taught us was just to be good people, not Christ-centered people. And if morality wasn't modeled, then maybe what moms and dads did, intentionally or unintentionally, they might have even taught us that we ought to outperform the competition, that we are to be performers, and they didn't emphasize things like godly character. And so we find ourselves here this morning as moms and dads talking about family discipleship. And I think many of us would have to admit that when it comes to discipling our children, we aren't really sure where to start. And can I tell you something? Like, whenever I approach something new and I'm not sure how to do the thing that I'm trying to do, that can be a very paralyzing thing. It can be a very fear-driven thing. And so the last thing I want is for moms and dads to be here today and not be sure how to disciple their children. And so Solomon, in this chapter, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, this is what he says: "Get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget or turn away from my words. Don't abandon wisdom. She will watch over you. Love her and she will guard you." One of the things that we see as we look at Proverbs chapter 4 is that Solomon assumed the primary responsibility of discipling his children in the home. And so one of the things that I want us to know as parents is that is our primary responsibility, to raise our children up. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to just lay out a very simple and very repeatable process that we as parents can model Christ in the home. And this is the process. It'll be a truth on the screen today. Is that parents model Christ through time, moments, and milestones for the spiritual development of their children. Those are the four elements: time, moments, milestones, and modeling. So here's what I want to do really quickly, is I want to unpack each one of those. So parents, our responsibility first and foremost, and you'll see the next truth on the screen, is that we are to model Christ in the home. I have to admit, this probably has to be one of the most difficult things for us as parents to do, is to model Christ. And when we say model Christ, I think what I mean is that in our home, as we relate to our spouse and as we relate to our children, we ought to be the number one example of what genuine Christ-likeness looks like. that when our children want an example of what Jesus looks like and how Jesus taught and how he related to other people, our children should have to look no further than us, which, can I just say, is a very, very humbling thing. Look with me at Proverbs 4, verse 10 through 11. Solomon says, "Listen, my son, accept my words, and you will live many years. I'm teaching you the way of wisdom. I'm guiding you on straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble." I can't help but imagine that Solomon is saying, if you follow my example, you will succeed in life. You will succeed in living a godly life. Solomon is looking to his sons and he's saying, look to me, and there you will see what it looks like to live a godly life. And so here's what I want to remind us of first and foremost, church, as parents, is when it comes to discipling our children, we need to understand that it is both teaching and living that teaches our children. It's both teaching and modeling. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. It can't be. And so here's what I want to see. There's a quote on the screen for us to remember this morning as parents, is that when it comes to discipling our children, the gospel is caught just as much as it is taught. The gospel is caught as much as it is taught. And so what are some ways, parents, that we can model the gospel? Well, first and foremost, I think one of the ways that as moms and dads we model the gospel is through the way that we love Jesus, first and foremost. But it's also in the way that we tenderly love our wife and our wives loving our husbands. And if you're a single parent, it's the way that you tenderly and compassionately love your children. We model the gospel in our love, but I also think we model the gospel in our obedience. Like, we can't forget this, moms and dads. That is that we too have been called to obey the word of God. And so we teach our children obedience when we ourselves obey the very word that we teach our children. And not only that, but we model the gospel when we serve together as families. And let's not forget this. One of the best ways that we model the gospel, and this is maybe very hard for us as parents to do, is through confession and repentance. Man, there, if you've parented for any length of time, you know that you blow it more oftentimes than not. You have to admit, like if you're honest, that when it comes to modeling Jesus, oftentimes that's not the case in the home. We respond in anger, we are short, we don't prioritize our children, you name it, all of these examples. And when we aren't living as the models that we've been called to live, it's an opportunity for us as parents to model the gospel through confession and repentance. And so there will be moments in our lives, moms and dads, where we have to look at our children and repent for the way that we have treated them. That we will have to confess to them that I just disciplined you out of anger and not love, and I want to ask you to forgive me. So as moms and dads, just the context of parenting is filled with opportunities for us to model the gospel, especially through confession and repentance. And I think here's the goal. It'll be on the screen. That as moms and dads, we ought to strive to live the kind of life where we can look at our kids and say, watch me. And there you'll see Christ. I think of in our home, for example, there are seasons that you will go through as a mom and a dad where your kids will struggle with certain things, and then there will be seasons that they won't. Like they may struggle early on with stealing, and then that develops into lying. And it's like, man, I feel like parenting kids at times is like whack-a-mole. It's like when you defeat one, then all of a sudden another bad character trait just begins to surface itself. And you're like, where in the world did this come from? In our home, for example, there was a season when my daughter was finding it really difficult to apologize. I mean, it could be over anything, taking a toy and making her brother mad. It could be for the way that she might have responded to me and Aaron. And Aaron and I would often look at her and go, Catherine, like, we want you to understand that what you did was not right and you owe that person an apology. But it was like pulling teeth. It just would never happen. And I can remember Aaron and I one day, you said, you know what? If she's not going to do it through the way that we teach, then maybe we just show her how to do it. And so when they were in the living room playing with toys, and she would take something, and all of a sudden we would hear that blood-curdling screech come out of Oliver, we would run into the living room and we would take a knee and we would say, Catherine, do you understand what you just did? And now here's what you need to do. Oliver, I'm sorry for doing this to you. Will you forgive me? And man, we did that over and over and over and over again. And parents, listen to me. You will feel at times that what you're doing is not sinking in. What you're doing is going right over their heads in one ear and out the other. But I'm going to tell you, just a couple of months ago, we were sitting in the living room and something happened between Catherine and Oliver. And before Oliver could even get to us to tell us what Catherine did, she ran up to us and said, Oliver, I'm sorry. And Aaron and I looked at each other like deer in headlights. We're like, wait, what did you just say? She's like, Oliver, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And I can't help but think that her doing that was reflective of us trying, even at a very small level, to model what it looks like to ask for forgiveness. And so here's what I want to point out something really quickly, parents, when it comes to modeling. Is one is a warning and another is a promise. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, Peter is talking about the influence of false teachers in the church. And what Peter reminds the church is that if you practice their example and you live out the wrong example of the faith in the world, then the watching world is actually going to despise the gospel you proclaim because your character doesn't match the Jesus that you're teaching. And so this is what Peter says. Many will follow their depraved ways, and the way of truth will be maligned or blasphemed because of them. And so here's what I want to warn us of, parents, is that we need to be aware that if we are reflecting the wrong kind of character of the gospel, that it could lead, I'm not saying it will, but it could lead to our kids growing up in a home and leaving a home where they want nothing to do with the gospel that we proclaim because the way we lived didn't match the message that we taught. But then there's also this hope and this promise. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I love this passage because the Apostle Paul is applauding the faith of Timothy. And this is what he says. He goes, I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced it lives in you as well. And so here's what I want to encourage parents in. As we see this, we see three generations of faith from grandmother to mother to grandson, Timothy, who's now serving alongside Paul in ministry. That the faithful example of a mother and dad can lead to faithfulness in a child. I love the way that Charles Spurgeon put it, and then we'll move on. Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, train up a child in the way they should go, but be sure you go that way yourself. Be sure you go that way yourself. So parents, we model Jesus in the home, but then second, parents make time for Jesus in the home. So when we talk about time, what we are talking about is that we as a mom, we as a dad, we have the responsibility to actually plan moments in the everyday rhythms of our life where we actually teach our kids the gospel. And not only do we actually need to plan time that we teach our kids the gospel, but we actually need to plan time where we model or practice the gospel together. And so if you would, look with me at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 2. we see these words from Solomon. I'm giving you good instruction. Don't abandon my teaching. When I was a son with my father and tender and precious to my mother, he taught me and said, your heart must hold to my words and keep my commands and live. What we see in Solomon's life is that Solomon taught his kids the gospel, but not only did he teach them the gospel, he addressed their hearts and he expected obedience. And so, parents, we have a responsibility to teach our kids the gospel. It's this area, though, I think, as moms and dads, that can be the most intimidating and at times the most frustrating. And here's why I say that is because I don't think many of us think of ourselves as teachers or scholars of the word. And so when it comes to actually teaching our children the things of the faith, it, instead of being a joy, breeds insecurity, because we ourselves don't feel like we have a firm grasp on the gospel and we're supposed to teach the kids in our home that very gospel that we believe. And not only that, one of the most frustrating things, and my wife will attest to this, this is crazy. In the Cole household, man, there are moments that we sit down to teach our kids the gospel. It may be at the end of the day, after showers, when our kids are in their jammies. We'll sit in our bedroom, I'll open the Bible to Matthew, and I'm literally, my goal is to get through 5 verses, if that. And as I'm sitting there, all I see is, stop touching me. Stop. Get off of me. And then Oliver's over in the corner just dancing. Catherine's doing cartwheels. And I'm like, guys, all I need is like 6 minutes. Just 6 minutes for you to sit here and listen to what I'm saying. And what happens is this moment that should be like discipleship becomes like a discipline moment. And it's like, man, I'm just trying to disciple your hearts. Now I'm having to discipline you. And what that leads to, I think if Aaron and I are being honest, is a tremendous amount of frustration. And so if you're not intimidated by discipling your kids, when you actually sit down to do it, you're frustrated with it. And what will happen unintentionally is you will neglect it because it's intimidating and it's frustrating. And next thing you know, you find yourself in a home where you're not teaching your kids the gospel. But we have an opportunity as moms and dads to teach our kids the gospel. And here are 2 very simple ways that we can begin to do that is simply reading our kids the word. Just opening the Bible and reading it to them. But not only reading it to them, this is one thing that we try to do and we like to do is when we are reading our kids the gospel, we will find just one meaningful passage out of that section that we read as moms and dads, and we will attempt as a family to memorize that together. But as we're teaching them the gospel, parents, here's one of the things that we can't fail to do, and that's address their hearts. If you guys remember from the spiritual discipline series, we talked about the mind and the heart. It's our job as moms and dads to actually teach our kids to think. I don't know if you know this or not, but your kids don't know how to think yet. It's our responsibility to instruct them. That's what I love about Solomon. He's providing them instruction. He's helping them learn how to think. But not only is he helping them learn how to think, but he's actually addressing their hearts. And as moms and dads, this is what I want to encourage you in, is that no one knows your kid better than you do. And so when you're teaching them the word and you're memorizing the word, you understand the struggles of their hearts, you understand the fears that they have, and you as a mom and dad have an opportunity to speak specifically through those things. And I don't want us to forget this is where we pray. It's because as parents, we have to admit that we are powerless when it comes to the actual transformation of our children's heart. That salvation is a gracious gift of God, something that we as moms and dads are not in control of. But what we can do is we can pray toward those ends. And then finally, Solomon not only taught the word, not only did he address their hearts, but he expected obedience. Man, I'll admit that's one area that I often see that as parents, We will labor at teaching our children the gospel and teaching them godly character, but when they fail to actually live that out, there's little to no consequences for their failure to obey what we teach. I love what Solomon says. He says, don't abandon my teaching. Keep my commands. There was an expectation that his children would actually obey the things that he taught. And here are two ways that we can do that, church, is that we can model doctrine. Like in our home, we can model what it looks like to repent. In our home, we can model doctrine like prayer. As we pray together, we are teaching our kids to actually obey the word when we pray together. And we can model the gospel as we serve together. All right, third is not only do parents model Jesus in the home, not only do parents make time for Jesus in the home, but parents capture moments to celebrate Jesus in the home. Parents capture moments to celebrate Jesus in the home. So when we talk about moments, one of the things that we're talking about is everyday opportunities for us to infuse the gospel. So I don't know if you guys have realized this or not, but life is a classroom filled with opportunities. Hang on, let me take a time out real quick. Is this helpful? Do I need to slow down or change it up? I want to make sure this is helpful. And I don't feel like what I'm saying is communicating well. And so let me pause for a moment, take a deep breath, and get back in this. Parents, we ought to capture moments, everyday opportunities to infuse the gospel in our kids' life. Life is a classroom. Life provides us with everyday opportunities to infuse the gospel. And so what I think happens sometimes as moms and dads, at least for me and Aaron, as we thought about discipleship in the home, we imagined that discipleship was this quiet, candlelit moment around the dinner table where we're unpacking deep truths of the gospel and our kids are quietly and eagerly sitting at the table ready to receive what we had to say. But we soon figured out that that was not the case. Discipleship, while it does happen in the home and around the table, discipleship happens, following Jesus happens in a wicked world. Look at what Solomon says really quickly in verse 14. Solomon says this. He says, keep off the path of the wicked. Don't proceed on the way of the evil ones. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass by. This is what I love about what Solomon is doing. Solomon understands that discipleship happens in the home, that parents instruct their kids in the house, but that following Jesus actually happens in the real world. And so what that means then for us as moms and dads is we have to learn to do what the Apostle Paul said, which is to speak with words that are seasoned with salt. In other words, take advantage of opportunities in our kids' life and in the life of our family to speak about the gospel. Look at Colossians 4, verse 6. Paul says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. And so as moms and dads, there are two ways I think that we can take advantage of everyday opportunities to teach our kids the gospel, and that's one, through teaching them the character of God. Because our kids, they grow up in a world where they are exposed to the same sinful wickedness that we are exposed to. They hear the media, they see the kids on the bus, the things that they talk about and live for, and they are going to have a hard time reconciling a good and gracious God inside a sinful and wicked world. And so we do well as moms and dads to actually teach them the character of God. We teach them God's love, God's justice, God's mercy, God's patience. But not only that, as parents, not only are we to teach them the character of God, but we are to actually teach them what godly character looks like. What it actually looks like, as Peter says, to be holy as the Father is holy. I'll give you an example just really quickly of what I think it looks like to take advantage of an everyday opportunity. I remember a couple of years ago, our kids were like overly obsessed with death. It was the oddest thing. We would drive by a graveyard and Samuel would look at us and go, "Dad, why did that person die?" I'd be like, "I don't know. There's like 300 tombstones out there. I don't know why they died." But he goes, "Well, how do people die?" And I'm like, "All kinds of ways." And then we would drive by a funeral and Catherine would say, "Dad, do old people just die or do young people die?" And so we were talking about how it doesn't, like age, that death is not discriminant of age. It's like, and so it was just for a season, our kids were constantly asking us how people die, why people die. And I remember Aaron and I talking about this. We said we could choose not to speak about this and just kind of just, it's not something to concern ourselves with right now, but rather how about we use it as an opportunity to teach the gospel. And so anytime my son or my daughter would ask, why do people die? We use it as an opportunity to teach the gospel that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And so through just simple questions from our kids asking why people die and how old are you when you die and so on and so forth, it was just a great time for us to teach our kids about the gospel. And finally, parents, we model Jesus in the home. We take time for Jesus in the home. We capture moments to celebrate Jesus in the home. And then we develop milestones to the pursuit of Jesus in the home. So milestones are celebrating spiritual development in the life of our kids. Look at chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. I know I'm focused on this passage a lot, but Solomon says, "When I was a son, my father, and tender and precious to my mother, they taught me and said, 'Your heart must hold on to my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom and get understanding. Don't forget or turn away from my words or from the words of my mouth.'" I can't help but see that Solomon's parents are passing off the faith to Solomon. And what I see in Proverbs 4 is Solomon is actually passing off the faith to his sons. And what I see here is it's almost like a rite of passage. His sons are becoming of age, and Solomon is taking this opportunity to pass the gospel off to his kids. And so what we see here is that as moms and dads, I think we ought to create memorable and unforgettable moments for us, whether those are planned or unplanned, for the spiritual development of our kids. And what I mean by that is that as moms and dads, we can celebrate things and God's faithfulness through something like the birth of a child, right? We can take time to plan rites of passage as our kids become of age 5, 10, 16, and 18, or as they graduate fourth grade or they go into high school. These are moments as moms and dads where we can infuse the gospel into these moments. And then some of these, for example, like anniversaries. I was thinking about that this week, is every time as a mom and dad we celebrate our very own anniversary, that's a unique opportunity for us to actually teach our children what faithful covenant marriage looks like. And so we don't, like, I know the tendency among moms and dads is like to get away and go and celebrate over wine and dinner in a hotel overnight, right? And the kids stay at home with grandma, grandpa, or the babysitter. But what I want to encourage you to do is actually around your anniversary, don't seclude your kids from that celebration, but actually bring them into it and explain to them what is a healthy marriage? What is Christ-centered love look like? Explain to them how you met. Talk to them about the struggles you've experienced in marriage and celebrate the effort that you guys have put in of faithful Christ-centered love. Like actually use those moments to teach your kids the gospel. And then there's opportunities for developmental milestones, things like salvation and baptism. As moms and dads, we should actually be praying for these things. I remember this week, Aaron and I mapped out some very clear spiritual development milestones for our kids, which involved their salvation, their baptism, and the Lord's Supper. That these are things that as we sit down and we study the Word of God together, we are praying for their salvation. We're praying for the day that they get baptized. And I look forward to the day when I actually get to take the Lord's Supper with my kids. Psalm 143, verse 5 says this. Next slide, please. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I reflect on the works of your hands. I think when it comes to milestones, it's an opportunity for us as parents to write down ways we want to see God work in the lives of our kids. But not only that, I think as moms and dads, we write down moments where we see God work in our family's life. One moment that I got to have recently with Samuel was very special. If you would click the next slide. This is a picture. You guys have heard me talk about this guy often. To my left is my mentor and best friend, Dan Carroll. When I got out of the military, I was a new follower of Jesus. I moved back home. I met my wife, and she invited me to her church. And that Sunday, this guy, Dan, walked up to me, and he was like, "Hey, do you hunt?" And I'm like, "No." He says, "Well, would you be interested?" I said, "Sure." And so Dan used to take me hunting, and there on the property, in the drive, on the way to the property, or after the hunt while we were having lunch, Dan would just talk to me about God. He would answer questions that I had. He would teach me what it looked like to be a godly man, what it looked like to be a faithful husband. And I'd been married. We were dating and the newlyweds. And over the course of several years, probably like a decade, every time we were in the woods together, Dan would pour his life into me. Last winter, we got to go home. And Dan rung me up and he says, "Hey, I'm going to go hunting. Would you like to go with me?" And I was like, "Absolutely. But can I bring Samuel with me?" Because what it was so important for me in that moment was that Samuel would actually get to experience what I got to experience through Dan. And so when we went out in the woods, listen to me, Dan's goal may have been hunting, Samuel's goal may have been hunting, but my goal was for my son to get to hear the gospel from Dan. And so before we ever walked out into the woods, I said, "Dan, would you please do me the honor of explaining to Samuel how you came to faith in Jesus?" And there in the woods, Dan, myself, and Samuel, he just began to unpack God's grace and mercy in his life and how he became a follower of Jesus. And then together, both me and Dan called my son Samuel to repentance and faith in Christ. But the reason I point this out is this was just a silly moment in the woods that we infused the gospel. And the reason I think this is so important, parents, is because here's what I'm convinced of as I think about family discipleship, is I think our kids will remember very little of what we taught. They will remember very little of what we taught, but here's what I'm convinced of. But they will remember so much of what we actually did with them. Now think about that. If they remember little about what you taught, but most about what you did, then doesn't it make sense then through what you do to infuse the gospel? And here's why, because when they take those memories with them, those memories will be meaningful and impactful, and they will always have infused in them the hope of the gospel. And so whether that's through hunting, whether that's through shopping, whether that's a family vacation, parents, I want to encourage us to actually infuse the gospel in memorable moments. So when our kids grow up and they think back to the things that they did with us, they won't just remember hunting. They'll remember sitting on the back of the truck and talking to Dan about the gospel. Let's pray. Father, I pray for myself and every parent here today. God, I pray for every man and woman here that is married or desirous of marriage that will one day parent kids. Lord, I ask that your grace and your favor would be upon us as we strive to disciple our kids to follow Jesus. I pray that you would give us grace, Lord, as we model Christ in the home. Father, I pray that you would give us patience as we sit down in our bedrooms or at our dinner tables and teach our kids the gospel. Father, I pray that you would give us eyes to see opportunities in everyday life to teach our kids about Jesus. And that in those moments when we want to do that, God, you would give us the words to say. And then I pray, Father, whether it is birthdays, whether it is anniversaries, or maybe even remembering the loss of a loved one. God, I pray when we make these big memories with our kids, we would infuse those times with the gospel so that when they leave us one day, God, they will remember that Jesus was at the center of everything that we did. Father, as we sing these final words today, Lord, I pray that you would be with moms and dads who are trying to do this and are just so discouraged. God, I pray for those moms and dads that feel defeated, that have no energy. God, I pray that you would meet them in a special way today, that you would comfort them, you would renew the joy of their salvation, and you would restore their souls so that they would have a grace-filled means to do the thing that you've called them to do, in Jesus' name.